He is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's look at our hidden in the heart verses for today. This is last week's. Will you say it with me, beginning with our 1 Corinthians 15:3? For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:3. And the one for today, very appropriate. Proverbs 1:8-9. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Proverbs 1:8-9. Great principles to live by, right? The goal for studying God's Word together, as we're doing today, obviously is to grow in our knowledge of who God is, right? To grow in our knowledge of our Lord, which serves to enhance our worship, right? The more we know about our Lord, the greater our worship of Him will be. Now, today we're going to take a break from our study in John's Gospel, and Lord willing here, we're going to grow in our knowledge of who God is, which should lead us again to an enhanced worship of Him, but by once again looking at the qualities which are seen in a godly mother or wife, right? And the qualities of these characteristics which for which God should be praised. Right, he should be our focus, right? And that's what we want to get across here. God is to be the focus no matter what. So with that said, let me again say, Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. I'm going to begin with the Jewish proverb. It says, a child without a mother is like a door without a knob or a handle. Right? A child without a mother is like a door without a knob or a handle. In other words, you cannot open a door to see all of the potential that lies within without a handle to unlatch it, right? And that's the function of a godly mother with regards to her children. Now, in Scripture, we see many examples of mothers, right? And obviously, they're not perfect, right? But they're examples. Sarah is one. Remember, she's an elderly woman who laughed at the notion of having a child at such an advanced age. She was blessed with a son, Isaac. Right? Naomi was another one. Naomi was a faithful mother-in-law to Ruth, whose faithfulness to her family produced the line of David, right? Through which came our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then Hannah is another example, a woman of prayer. She prayed earnestly for a child, and she was blessed with a boy. Does anybody know what that boy's name was? Samuel, right? And then, of course, we have Mary, the woman chosen to be the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we said, there are many examples of mothers in Scripture, and many godly examples, just as there are many godly examples of mothers today. And really, what would we do without mothers? I mean, think about that. What would we do without mothers or wives? Right? If you're a married man, you've been blessed with a double portion when it comes to understanding this truth. Right? Because as husbands, let's face it, we'd be lost without our wives, the one whom God has made for the purpose of being our helpmeet, right? And as children, we wouldn't even exist without mothers, right? So mothers play such an unbelievably important and necessary role in the fabric of life. And really, as one writer puts it, the mothers of our nation shape the future. The role of mother is critical to the proper development of a healthy child, right? And we see just how important the role of mother is, especially when we look at our culture today, right? We are in a Romans 1 culture. It's being played out right before our eyes. As a matter of fact, let's turn there. Romans chapter 1. Let's look at God's word here. We'll begin in verse 24. Romans 1, verse 24. We've looked at this before, but this is so applicable here, right? Now, because of the breakdown of the family structure, a generation after generation of children have been and are being developed into godless men and women, right? Who, as Isaiah says in Isaiah 5:20, they call evil good and good evil, right? We see that happening now. And they put darkness for light, light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In other words, they desire to be a god unto themselves. Therefore, it says in Romans 1:24, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Right? In other words, God says, all right, you want it, you got it. I'll give you what your sinful heart desires, the freedom to fulfill the lust of your flesh without any moral influence, which directly leads to the dishonoring and the destruction of their body. In other words, God's saying, go ahead, have your sexual revolution. And folks, over the years, our culture, as we said, has raised up godless generations who, as it says in verse 25 here, they have exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And who worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. And it is for this reason, verse 26 says, God has given them up to what? Vile passions. Right? Their women have exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Right? That's homosexuality. Right? And God's word says that is shameful. And it will result in serious physical consequences. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they didn't even want to think about him, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, right? That's the transgender revolution which we're now seeing in our day and which God's word says is not fitting. It is not right. It is a moral abomination. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. You don't have to look very far. You just look on the news and you see these people out protesting, right? So-called protesters nowadays. They're characterized by these things. They're not protesting. They're pushing an agenda, a sinful agenda, right? And if folks, again, generations are being and have been raised up to reject all things having to do with God. And it is true, as the family goes, so goes the church. And as the church goes, so goes the culture. Right? So this Mother's Day, I'd like us to consider just how important this role of mother is. Not only to the marriage, right, to the family, to the husband and the children, but to our culture as a whole. Now, in the 1960s, in the 70s, we saw the beginning of our culture's sexual revolution, where it became acceptable to flaunt one's body under the guise of celebrating their sexuality, which also led to the acceptance of multiple partner sexual relationships, both in and out of wedlock, which has directly led to the penalty of sexually transmitted diseases. And then in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, and even in today, we've seen the rise of, the tolerance of, and even the glamorization of homosexuality. Right? You can't turn on the TV and watch for very long without seeing some advertisement or a so-called family-friendly show that glorifies and normalizes the godless homosexual lifestyle. And if that isn't bad enough, in our recent history as a nation, as a culture, we've seen, as we said, the rise of those whom God has given over to a debased mind, not knowing what they are, Or better yet, not accepting what they are. Right? This is known as the transgenderism or gender confusion. Right? That's what we're seeing in our culture today. It's not biblical, but rather it is detestable. It is an abomination to holy God. And where is the first line of defense against this? Well, it's in the home. Right? Beginning with fathers and mothers. So with that in view, we see that mothers are not only very special, they are absolutely essential. Right? Now, to what or who can we compare a godly mother? That's what we want to look at today. Well, when a person tries to think of a good example to compare a mother to, obviously the best example is who? Our Lord Jesus, right? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He obviously is the perfect example because he is the exact image of the Father. He is the exact image of God because he is God. And we, as men and women, as human beings, we bear the image of God, although that image is marred by sin, right? And the sanctification process of the believer, the process of being molded into this image of Christ, right, to the praise and the glory of God, that is the process of restoring God's image in us to its original beauty, right? So we, as those who have repented and believed on Christ for forgiveness and eternal life, we are to be imitators of God, aren't we? Imitators of God as his dear children, Ephesians 5:1. And there's no greater example of what that looks, that likeness looks like, again, than that of a God-honoring mother. Right? A good and God, a godly mother will exhibit the same qualities as our Lord. And again, that's ultimately where we want to focus today. Our focus should land squarely on our Lord. He should be glorified, right? So turn with me now to Acts chapter 20. Let's look at Acts chapter 20, verse 35. We're going to look at some of these godly qualities. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It says, I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive, right? So the first quality that we see here, which in our Lord, which characterizes a godly mother, is that of self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice. Now, let's define that. What is self-sacrifice? Well, it's the willingness to give up personal wants and needs, either from a sense of duty or in order to benefit others. Right? That's self-sacrifice. The willingness to give up personal wants and needs, either from a sense of duty or in order to benefit others. In other words, a true and godly mother will sacrifice the good of herself for the sake of her family and others. I've seen this at work firsthand, both in my wife as well as in my mother, and I'm sure you have as well, right? A true godly mother understands God's principles found here in this verse, Acts 20, 35, where it reminds us of the words of our Lord, it is more blessed to give than to receive, right? And the word for blessed here is the same word Jesus uses in his teachings, teaching of the Beatitudes in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. The word is makarios, it means to be happy, blessed or envied. In other words, the person, and in this case, the mother, who understands that they are to model Christ, who himself sacrificed literally everything for his people, for his children, for his family, and they imitate that same self-sacrificial attitude, that person will and should be happy. They should be joyful because they know from God's gift of faith and assurance that God will be glorified and that he will reward them, meaning that they are to be envied. Right? So really when a mother exhibits that self-sacrifice, she's being a vessel. She's being a vessel that is used by the Lord to emulate or to imitate his sacrificial love for us. And really, is there any greater privilege than to model or to emulate the same attitude of self-sacrifice that our Lord showed? The answer to that, obviously, is no. There is no greater privilege than that. As Christian believers, we are never more like Christ than when we love as He loved. And John 15, 13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Right? So, as Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Right? Self-sacrifice is a characteristic of our Lord. It's also a characteristic of a godly mother. Right? Now, moms make sacrifices all the time, don't they? If you're a mother, you're going, yeah. And they make different kinds of sacrifices. They make physical sacrifices. Right? Think about that. That begins with the discomfort of carrying a child in their womb for many months. Right? There's physical sacrifice. Right? As a guy, I sometimes whine and complain when I have to suffer the discomfort of carrying the garbage out to the garage, wondering why my wife didn't do it, right? Or carrying the dirty clothes downstairs to the laundry room. Honey, can you take these down there? Ah, right? Yeah, I've done that, throw the shoulders back. Yeah. But I can't imagine the physical sacrifice, the discomfort, the pain of carrying a child around in my belly for 9 months or so. And then there's the physical pain and discomfort of the childbirth. Right, as they go through labor. The only thing I could even come close to comparing that to for me would be the pain I felt when I gave birth to a couple of kidney stones. Right? That hurt. But somehow I don't think that even comes close to the pain of childbirth. But it doesn't stop there. A mother sacrifices by seeking to provide on a daily basis the physical needs for her children and her husband. You know, there have been many times when I would make myself a hot chocolate, maybe on a cold winter's night, and I'd have a flashback of my mom at 4:30 in the morning getting up, making a hot chocolate on the stove in the kettle so that Dad and I would have something warm to drink as we waited for the ducks and geese to fly over while we were hunting. I remember that old silver kettle that she'd make that hot chocolate in. Right? My mom, she would always make breakfast for her family. For me, it was always oatmeal. Always oatmeal. But she gave that because she felt that was what was best for me. She always had lunch and supper ready when I come home. She always made sure we were properly bundled up to go outside and play when it was wintertime. Right? And in the summer, I remember how a bunch of us kids would go play baseball at the elementary school. It would be so hot in the summer. I can remember how my mom would fill up a bunch of ice cream pails full of ice water and bring them up for us kids to drink. That was the most refreshing water I've ever had. Right? And as a mother and wife, my mom would always care for her home, provide meals for her husband. She would, for the most part, encourage him, respect him. Right? She would even sacrifice for other people. And I've mentioned this before. The town police chief who, whenever he had the night shift, would stop in at 1 o'clock, sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning, come knocking on the door. My mom would get up, make him and my dad some coffee and snacks, and they'd sit and visit for a while. And then he'd leave and go back to bed, and then she'd get up a few hours later and make breakfast, oatmeal, for me. Right? That's the kind of physical self-sacrifice you see in a godly mother or wife, right? Now, was my mom perfect? Obviously not. No one is. But she had been blessed with this understanding of her God-given, God-ordained role as a wife and mother, right? And praise God, she took it very seriously. Now, a godly mother also functions in many different roles, doesn't she? She's a nurse. Right? A social secretary, dietitian, some are gardeners, chauffeur, there's one, housekeeper. Right? And men, as husbands and sons, we must value these godly qualities, which are seen in our wives and our mothers. Right? We must praise them for these qualities. And above all, we must praise God. Right? Praise God for the blessing. Blessing of mothers and wives, blessing us with them. Proverbs 31, 30 and 31, which Rob just read for us. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Now, I've said this before, and I'll likely say it again as well, but husbands, let's remember this. Do not badmouth your wife. Don't badmouth her to your children or to anyone else. Okay? There's nothing more pathetic. There's nothing more annoying than to see a husband or a son show a lack of respect and appreciation for his wife or his mother. Any man who sits around and acts all lazy, taking advantage of his wife or mother and does not praise her for the sacrifice that she makes for him and his family on a daily basis should be ashamed of himself. Right? And for a man to act in such a manner is for him to spit in the face of Almighty God. Because it is God who has blessed him with such a precious gift as his mother and wife or mother of his children. Right? So a godly mother deserves to be praised, it says. And we don't do that nearly enough. And not only in private, but she should be praised in public as well. Right? Men and women, do not put your spouse or your mother or father, your children for that matter, do not put them down in front of other people. Right? That's the point. That's very disrespectful. And in doing that, what are we doing? We're actually revealing the selfish, prideful, self-exalting character that we possess when we do that. Right? That's what we show anytime we put anyone else down. Right? And that's not what God wants. So praise your mother as well as the mother of your children. Lift her up. Exalt her in front of others. Husbands, especially in front of your children. Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. So honor your mother. Another example of sacrifice that a godly mother makes is this example of emotional sacrifices. She'll make an emotional sacrifice. Right? The truth is, mothers are the ones who are the most emotionally invested in the lives of their children, aren't they? Because they're more sensitive. That's what God has made them. They suffer when their children do or say things that break their heart. And they, much like our Lord, they experience the unbelievable heartache and pain when they open their heart and shower their loved ones with love that often goes unnoticed or is rejected. Right? And they suffer the emotional pain as a result of those situations where they give it their all only to be underappreciated or demeaned. Right? So mothers, they sacrifice so much emotionally. Here's a great example of this. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 3, if you will. 1 Kings chapter 3, let's look at verses 16 through 27. Talking about the emotional sacrifice of mothers. 1 Kings 3:16 through 27, very familiar passage. It says, now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. This is before Solomon here. And one woman said, oh my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I gave birth that this woman also gave birth. And we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. Verse 20, so she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, no, but the living one is my son. the dead one is your son. And the first woman said, no, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. Now just imagine this emotional roller coaster that's going on between these two women here. The desperation that's going on in the heart of the mother whose son was alive. The worries, the fear. Look at verse 23. And the king said, the one says, this is my son who lives. Your son is the dead one. The other says, no, but your son is the dead one. And my son is the living one. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him. But the other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. So the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child and by no means kill him. She is his mother. Right? In other words, the real mother loved her child and was willing to suffer a great emotional sacrifice so as to save her child's life. And the fear and the pain she felt at that moment before the king gave her child back to her, that must have been absolutely heart-wrenching for her. And mothers all over feel that same kind of pain when they see their child reject their love and make ungodly, unwise choices in life. They love them. They're deeply concerned for their welfare, no matter what age their children are. Right? So they sacrifice emotionally. Another kind of sacrifice shown by a godly mother or woman is spiritual sacrifice. Spiritual sacrifice, right? There have been times when I've heard mothers say, you know what, someone else needs to talk to my son or my daughter. Someone else needs to talk to them. They won't listen to me. I don't have any influence on them. But is that true? No, that's not true. Yes, it is true that the father is to be the spiritual leader of the family. And he will be held personally accountable to God for the spiritual condition of his family. And never forget that, men. But godly mothers are the ones who are the most invested in the spiritual aspects and the training of their children's lives. Why do I say that? Well, I say that because the godly mother is the one who spends or should spend countless hours in prayer for her children and for her husband. Mothers, are you doing that? Even if you're not a married woman, even if you're waiting for the Lord to bring that right man, are you still praying for them? Behind every obedient and godly man is a godly mother or wife that is continually lifting her family up before the Lord in prayer. That is of utmost importance. Right? They sacrifice physically, emotionally, and spiritually for their family. They are women who model Christ by their boundless grace and forgiveness. And a godly mother's grace is much like the grace that we've received from God, isn't it? Ephesians 2:8-9, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right? So the salvation that man can possess is not a result of anything we have done. It's not a result of who we are. No, God's free offer of salvation comes as a result of his amazing grace. He gives us what we don't deserve, forgiveness and love. And the grace of a godly mother is a great representation of the grace that we have in our Lord Jesus. A godly mother is also a model of Christ-like compassion. Right? Grace, compassion. She'll model that godly principle of Ephesians 4:32, which says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Right? Only a God-given grace can explain the strength, can explain the courage and foundation for a mother to be faithful to God and to represent him by faithfully serving her family. Right? God's grace to her is what gives her the ability to forgive and accept her children and her husband when they fail. And it is only God's grace that gives her the ability to gently correct her children when they, through disrespect and disobedience, when they don't live up to her expectations. And so again, ladies, remember this. Through your grace and your unconditional forgiveness, you are representing the Lord, your Lord and Savior. Right? So get in the habit. Get in the habit of dwelling on that for a moment before responding to the dumb things that your children and husbands so often do. Right? And man, that's not a bad thing for us to do as well. Get in the habit of dwelling on the fact that our Lord has shown us grace and forgiveness. Right? A godly mother is also a woman of godly belief. There's another one. Trust. John 14:1, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Trust in who? God. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Right? Isn't it easy for you ladies when your husbands mess up, when they fail, when they fail to provide like they're supposed to, whether it's spiritually or physically, emotionally? Sure is easy to be troubled. Truth is, you need to trust in God. Trust in God. Trust in the Lord Jesus. Psalm 5:11-12. "Let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." Trust in the Lord. And a godly mother must first believe in God, obviously. She must believe in the fact that He has a perfect will and a perfect plan for her and her family. And this includes the fact that God is in control of any and every situation of life. She must trust in God and encourage her husband to do the same. And trust in the fact that God will finish what He has started in her life and her husband's life, as well as in the lives of her children. Right? She must cling to the Word. The Word of God, as it says in Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this, He who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." God is faithful. He knows what He's doing. And He will never forsake His own, right? And you know, all of us men know this. The rock steady faith and the trust in God found in a godly mother or godly wife is probably one of the most reassuring things there is to a husband and a child. And it's second only to God's word, of course. The rock steady faith and trust in God is assuring, reassuring to a husband and a child. Folks, a faithful wife who is committed to her Lord and Savior is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, blessings given to us here on earth, apart from personal salvation, of course. Right? That is what gives us as men the much-needed encouragement to fulfill that huge God-given responsibility of spiritual leadership within the family and within the community. So a godly wife will trust God and let her husband know that she believes in Him. She will also instill that much-needed confidence and self-esteem within her children. Right? Letting them know that no matter what she believes, or no matter what she believes in them, letting know that she believes in them, the potential is in them to become the man or woman of faith that God has designed for them to be. Right? Where others may see no potential in a child or a husband, a godly mother, a godly wife will see it, and they have a knack of finding it and pointing it out. Right? Finally, a godly mother models Christ by being a woman of endless love. 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, this quality, this endless love, is the greatest characteristic of a godly mother. Right? She loves her children, she has love and respect for her husband, and most importantly, she loves her Lord, Master, and Savior. And that love for God is what motivates all other areas of love in her life. Right? Without God's love, the rest of her life and love would be incomplete. Right? And because God is so incredibly good, there are many benefits of His love that a godly mother can experience. Right? Think about that. She can experience the strength when life gets hard. Knowing God loves her gives her the power needed to stand when the times are tough. God's love also gives encouragement when life lets her down, when it's not what she expected it to be or what she wants it to be. When life feels empty, God's love gives her meaning. Right? Again, it goes back to our Lord. And in the mundane of life, the love of God gives enthusiasm. It gives joy during times of sadness. Again, our focus is on our Lord. Right? The godly mother can love because she is loved by God. I've mentioned this quote from Abraham Lincoln before, but it's so true. Right? He said, "No one is poor who has a godly mother." He said that last Mother's Day too. But it's true. No one is poor who has a godly mother. So can I challenge you today? Pray for your mother. Pray for your wife, men, each and every day. Ask God to give her the strength to face each day, the wisdom as she seeks to teach and train her children in the Lord. Pray for a passion to continue unselfishly serving her God and her family, no matter what the conditions. Tell them that you appreciate them. Praise them, encourage them. Right? We all need encouragement. Love them. Tell them. Show them. Honor them every day. And mothers, pray. Serve the Lord in His strength, in His power. Pray for your family. Pray for your children. For your husband. Ask the Lord to watch over, to guide, to protect your family, and encourage your husband and your children as well. It is true, our culture has taken a turn for the worse, hasn't it? It's going downhill. You know what? As godly parents, as godly mothers, right? As a home, we are the last line of defense. We need to train up our children. We need to encourage one another to stand faithful in the Lord and in the strength and the power of His might. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, thank You so much for who You are. You have blessed us in so many ways. And today we're celebrating one of the blessings that You have given to us, the blessings of mothers, wives who love You, who long to serve You with their life. They hunger and thirst after righteousness. Lord, we praise You for them. Remind us each and every day of what a blessing they are to us. as we praise you for them, and we praise them, encouraging them to faithfully serve you. And Lord, help mothers to continue to pray and to trust you no matter what the conditions, no matter what the situations of life that they face. You are an amazing God. We praise you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.